You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Today's top story is brought to you by the financing company Genfin. Some of you might remember a couple of weeks ago, probably a little over a month ago, I went down a rabbit hole because there was a government gazette that said something about the South African Reserve Bank having seized some finances from private individuals, and we went down the legal side of that and tried to understand what was happening and all of that. It seems as though that legality and that seizure set a precedent because it had never been done before, but it has since been done once again. Steinhoff has now been told that they now need to forfeit more than 6 billion rand to the South African Reserve Bank for breach of exchange control regulations. And I'm joined on the line by Chief Executive Officer at Protea Capital Management, JP Verster, to take a look at this and try and unpack this. Jean-Pierre, good evening. Thank you so much for the time. Obviously, this was something that we thought might happen after what we saw happen to Ms. Oordendal, but I didn't expect it to happen so soon.
Good evening, Jimmy. Yes, indeed. So, as you mentioned, Ms. Oordendal, the partner of Marcus Huerster, had her assets seized, and also the family trust of Mr. Huerster had his had the trust assets seized, and these were done in terms of South African exchange control regulations, which is a law dating from 1933. And this has now been used to a larger effect, in this case, 6.1 billion rand, to seize cash from South African companies that are currently subsidiaries of the old company that was known as Steinhoff and is currently known as IBEX. So the Reserve Bank, based on this foreign exchange control law, which only requires a reasonable suspicion that exchange controls have not been followed, that those laws have been breached, can seize assets. You don't need a criminal conviction like with many other laws, and that is the law that was used in this case.
Now, this is similar. This is exactly the same law that was used, in fact, in Ms. Oordendal's case, and I had a legal expert on the show about this to understand just from a legality perspective what this means. JP, I want to look at it from a financial perspective. The timing of this is very interesting. You bring up IBEX, and IBEX obviously had that Pepkor placement that went out into the market. They raised about 9 billion rand from that Pepkor placement of about 500 million Pepkor shares. It reduced their shareholding, but it looks as though that has gone against them. Well, it hasn't really worked out in their favor. The Reserve Bank waiting patiently until the proceeds landed in the bank accounts before issuing this order.
Yes, it's interesting, as you say, that the assets that were seized in this case was cash in various bank accounts. And it was less than the amount that was raised after the placement of Pepkor shares by IBEX. But one can guess that the majority of the proceeds were actually because of the sale of those shares. So instead of, for instance, seizing the Pepkor shares that a subsidiary of IBEX holds, the Reserve Bank waited for those Pepkor shares to be sold, the cash to be deposited in various bank accounts. Some of this seems to have been dissipated, maybe overseas, and that could have triggered the Reserve Bank to act now. And the rest of the cash, 6.1 of the roughly 9 that was raised from the Pepkor share sale, was now seized. IBEX also had preference shares issued on the JSE, and less than a month ago, these preference shares were repurchased from preference shareholders, and they got roughly 1.5 billion rand of cash. So it's also interesting that the Reserve Bank waited not to affect certain collective investment schemes that held the preference shares, and waited until there's very little impact on retail investors of the seizing of this cash from the IBEX bank accounts.
JP, what does this then mean for IBEX? If I'm IBEX and I'm faced with this scenario and I still hold 30% of Pepkor shares, I now, first of all, need to go back and raise more capital because clearly the first 9 billion that I did, I've just lost two-thirds of that. But if I then go out and raise more capital, is there not a risk that this could be repeated and we could just go through this cycle where until the entire 30% is liquidated or whatever happens there, the Reserve Bank could sort of be this dark cloud hanging over someone like IBEX?
Correct. Just remind listeners also that the current owners of IBEX are old creditors of Steinhoff. So there are no retail investors that own any stake in IBEX, any stake in any of these entities which had their cash seized. some old Steinhoff shareholders do have contingent value rights, where the company said maybe sometime in future you'll get something if there is value left in IBEX. But I think it's been clear from very early on that those contingent value rights have very little value. So the creditors might be up in arms. These are mostly offshore creditors, European lenders. And yes, it might be a case, if there are further transgressions that the Reserve Bank have identified of exchange controls, that if there's more money coming into the bank accounts of the IBEX from the sale of Pepco shares, that the Reserve Bank will just repeat this and seize more money. So we don't know exactly how much the total value of the exchange control consequences are that they've decided that's the quantum that they can seize. But for now, we know it's at least 6 billion and it could be more.
JP, you bring up an important point when you bring up the fact that the owners of IBEX at the moment are previous creditors. And that brings the question to light that surely the those that were on the receiving end of the Steinhoff matters, such as shareholders and creditors, those were the victims of Marcus Uster's transgressions, so to speak. They should be the ones to benefit first from any recoveries of monies, not the Reserve Bank and certainly not the government.
Well, there's also the question whether if you have local parties and offshore parties, and the wealth that is available to be seized is because of transgressions of foreign exchange controls, which means the wealth should never have left the country in the first place, whether those that should benefit then if assets are seized, should they perhaps only be South Africans, or should they include the creditors overseas? And at this point, one would seem that the cash that was seized is going into the National Revenue Fund. So on a long roundabout way, South Africans will benefit from this seizure, not necessarily the exact pensioners that lost a lot of money from Steinhoff, but at least the country as a whole, while anyone that was a creditor and even lost money from Steinhoff, but they are not South African, they are outside the borders of South Africa, might feel a little bit done in because due to this seizure, they've made a further loss. And it's because of the nature of the issue being exchange controls, which is a, like I say, a law almost 100 years old, but it's also here to protect the fiscus and South African sovereign assets.
Mm. JP, is there an obligation then, or should there be an obligation then, from the government's perspective to then say the South African victims or the pensioners whose funds were lost from that perspective, that's where the money is going to be redirected to? Because as we know, the moment it goes to the National Treasury or the National Revenue Fund, it's anyone's guess where the finance minister is going to deploy that capital.
In a perfect world, you would like to do that. You would like to give something to the exact people who incurred the loss. But it's sort of like an egg that has been scrambled. You know, shares have been bought and sold. Some people held. At what price did they buy? The exact transgressions happened effectively when Steinhoff listed in Germany. That's when they externalized a lot of the value of the company. Did people buy their shares before then or after then? So because this egg has been scrambled so many times, it seems like the government has taken the view that from a big picture perspective, the country will benefit and get something back, but it's almost impossible to identify the exact people who lost money from being shareholders and compensate them. So this is probably the best we could see in terms of a government decision.
Well, we'll see how the money is dispersed. We'll see what happens from here. We'll definitely keep an eye on it, but we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for those insights. Jean-Pierre Foster, who is the CEO of Protea Capital Management, joining me to reflect on the latest seizure by the South African Reserve Bank of just shy of 6.2 billion rand from Steinhoff. This top story was brought to you by Genfin, proud to support South African enterprises for sustainable success.
When your business needs finance to get things done, who do you turn to? At Genfin, we realize that you need to stay focused on running your business. So let us do the work and get your business loan approved in 24 hours. For loans up to 5 million rand, from as little as 10% for 3 months, apply online at genfin.co.za. Genfin, we get it done.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.